Let's pray. Father, we bless you and we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that you give to us freely. We pray for your Spirit, God. Send your Spirit. Come. Fill us. Give to us your heart. Open to us your word. And open your word to our hearts. Let us see you more clearly. And I pray that you use this time to transform us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you hear us and that you are here. Bless you. And Lord, I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 10 is where we are. And I want to ask you a question about faith. And I want to ask you if faith is private and personal, something between you and God, or if faith is public, something for people to see. Many years ago, it was the then governor of New York State. His name was Mario Cuomo. Actually, I think it's his son who's the current governor of New York State. Andrew, I think, is his name. I can't remember Andrew Cuomo. But at any rate, Mario Cuomo, many years ago, he gave a famous speech at the University of Notre Dame. And he talked about the relationship between faith and public policy, because he was a governor. And in it, he said that as a Catholic, Mario Cuomo was a Catholic, he personally and privately opposed abortion. But as the governor of the state of New York, he had to support it. And he argued that his private faith could not spill over into the public arena. He had to keep his faith private. That's what he believed. That was between him and God, and it needed to stay there. And since then, in popular culture, at least here in America, America has sort of taken up that mantra is the English word I want to use, that idea. It's taken up that idea and said that faith is a private, personal thing, and it needs to be kept that way. That's if you do any reading in the newspapers or the internet or listen to news and the media and kind of pop culture about religion, that's how America views religion, broadly speaking. I mean, that's a generalization, yes. I mean, there are lots of exceptions. But in general, that's how America views religion. And I don't really think America is alone in that idea. I read an article this week that was talking about China wanting to clamp down on websites that are religious websites. And a website takes things public. That's the job of a website. And China wants to keep it private. Wants faith to be a private thing, just you. Korea, I've actually talked to Koreans who have told me that they wish the Korean church was not so public. I've heard that criticism of the Korean church from many Koreans. Iran, do we need to even talk about Iran? I mean, if you're a Christian, do you know that the government does not want it to go public, does it? Okay. In the midst of these situations, in all of your countries, all of our countries here. There's this idea that faith in Jesus perhaps might be okay so long as you keep it to yourself. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus says, "So, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny him before my Father who is in heaven." Okay, just look at those verses and tell me, does Jesus think that faith needs to go public? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? So listen to Jesus now. I'm just going to quote Jesus to you. Listen to what he says. "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. Neither does a man light a lamp and set it under a basket, but he puts it in the room for everyone to see. In the same way, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven." That's Jesus. Does he think faith is supposed to go public? Listen to Jesus again. Actually, this is from chapter 10. We preached on this last week. You can just look at verse 27 if you want to look up in the same thing. Jesus said, "What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops." Does that sound like he wants you to go public? Proclaim it on the housetops. Okay? Listen to Jesus again. "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things which I have commanded you." This is Jesus. This is the same Jesus. All of these verses just come from the lips of the same guy. So then, is faith private and personal? Yes, actually it is. You do need to know Jesus personally, from the heart. There needs to be a heart relationship between you and Jesus. But if faith stays private, it isn't really faith. Faith gets public. Real faith. Real faith goes public. See, if you stay private, all you show me is you like Jesus. But that's not what Jesus is looking for. Lots of people like Jesus, but Jesus wants followers. He's not looking just for fans. He doesn't want a fan club. He's looking for an army who will follow him and obey him. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say?" That's what he's looking for. And so, in order for you to have faith, you have to follow Jesus and obey Jesus and not just like what he says. It's by faith that you go public. Faith acknowledges Jesus before men. By faith, you identify yourself with Jesus. You say, "I belong to him." And you say that publicly. Not just, you know, in the privacy of your own house or your bedroom or wherever it is. If you look at those verses, Jesus, it's kind of like he emphasizes public twice in those verses. Once is with the word acknowledge, and the word there, the Greek word, is something like publicly confess. It's actually a public word. And so the word choice there is public. But then he, just in case you didn't get it, he adds the phrase before men. Everyone who acknowledges me before men, that's also public. Now, here's the deal. This is really hard. But following Jesus has always been hard. There's nothing easy about it. Going public with Jesus may bring a lot of opposition from people. But isn't that what Jesus has been saying all along? I mean, just think back to last week's sermon and the sermon before. We're just walking right through Matthew chapter 10, right? So Jesus sends his disciples out, and Jesus then, he says things like this. I'm sending you out, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. He says, they will deliver you over, he says, beware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts, and they will flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness to them. He says, when they deliver you over, don't be afraid what to say. He says, brother will deliver brother over to death. And the father, his child. And a man's children will rise up against him and deliver him over to death. He says, all will hate you for my sake. These are Jesus' words. And really, this is Matthew 10. This is what Jesus, what we're talking about today, acknowledge him publicly, is coming right after he just got done saying all this stuff. Jesus is talking about persecution. He says, if they've called the master Beelzebul, how much more those of his own household, which is his people. And then, just so that it's not just in the past, if you kind of read a few verses ahead, he's going to say, do not think that I have come to bring peace. I haven't come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a father against his child, and against his son, and a mother against her daughter, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a son-in-law against his father-in-law. And a man's own enemies will be those of his own household. He's going to say that next week. That's what we're going to talk about next week. And so the whole context is filled with persecution. Jesus is very open and very upfront about the bare fact of persecution. God's people can expect persecution. He promises it. Okay, now in the midst of that context, Jesus says, acknowledge me before men. There's no, but my family, what will my family say? He said, well, brother might deliver brother over to death. He's going to say next week, when we look at next week's, he's going to say, whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And so he's not going to listen to, but my family. That's just not going to work. Acknowledge me. That's what he wants. Acknowledge me before men. Don't say, but my family. There's no, but the government. He said, they will drag you before, you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake. Acknowledge me. Same context. He says, don't fear them. That was what we preached on last week. Don't be afraid. There's no, but my culture, or but people will hurt me. Or Jesus says, acknowledge me before men. Jesus understands all of the difficulties, all those but that we come up with. Jesus gets it. He's been talking about all those buts, all in this context. And he says, they don't matter. Acknowledge me before men. Go public. All of those things don't matter to Jesus. Or maybe I shouldn't put it that way. They may matter, but there's something else that matters more. to Jesus. And that's that we acknowledge him before men. What this means is faith takes courage. It really does. God's been teaching you about faith, right? Doesn't it take courage? Faith always asks you to do things you don't want to do. That's my experience with God. It's when I have to do something I don't want to do, now I really have to trust God. But if life is all nice and comfortable, I don't really have to do much trusting God. Life's comfortable. It takes courage. You know how, okay, let's look at it this way. Here in America, we talk about people coming out of the closet, right? And in American culture, that's an English idiom, coming out of the closet. What it means is you go public. And so in popular culture here in America, they will talk about a guy saying, I'm gay. And they'll say, he's come out of the closet. Or I'm an alcoholic. And he's going public and admitting, confessing whatever it was he's done. And they'll say, he's come out of the closet. When that happens, people always applaud the person who just came out of the closet for his or her courage. That's what they always applaud him for, courage. Going public is a courageous thing. Now, here's the deal. There are people who have more courage acknowledging their sin than sometimes Christians have going public with Jesus. Something's wrong with that. Something's really, really wrong with that when that's the case. If we're going to acknowledge Jesus publicly, we have to stand with Jesus, and that will take courage. It means in the end, you might actually have to endure hostility from your family or your government or your culture or your friends or your whatever, your employer, whoever it is. You might have to take some stands against everything you know. Maybe. It's hard. But it's right. It's just right. And it's more than right. It's eternally important. Listen to Jesus again. Just listen to what he says. So, everyone who acknowledges me before men, and then what's the next part?
I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven.
I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. And whoever denies me before men, what's the next part?
I deny him.
What's that?
No. I deny them.
That's right. I will deny him before my Father in heaven. I want you to hear that. Jesus is saying that what we do with Jesus will determine what he does with us eternally. The stakes are high here. Jesus is talking about our eternal destiny. He's talking about heaven and hell. I mean, that's really the stakes that we're talking about here. It gets to, what do you do with Jesus? Do you have faith or not? If you have faith, you go public. Jesus takes seriously the public nature of faith. Jesus. Here's what he says elsewhere. He says, a tree is known by its fruit. Just think of that metaphor. A tree is known by its fruit. That means when you look at a tree, What you see on the outside tells you something about the DNA in the heart of the tree, right? The tree is growing apples. The DNA is apple on the inside. What the DNA is produces the fruit. The outside reveals the inside. Okay, so the tree shows itself publicly. It shows what it really is publicly. Think of it this way. I want you to think of a marriage. Let me ask you a question about marriage. Is marriage a private, personal, heart relationship between two people? Yes? No? Maybe?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it is. It really is. Is marriage also a public relationship? It is, isn't it? It's not one or the other. It's both. Let me ask you a question. What if I said to Leanne in private, "Honey, I love you," but in public, I deny being her husband? What do you think of me? What does she think of me? She's probably pretty upset, isn't she? See, in marriage, you say publicly to the whole world, "I belong to this man or this woman." Marriage is a public thing. It really is. And for me, if I were to do what I just said, if I were to say, "I love you" in private, but publicly I deny that I'm actually her husband, we would call that hypocrisy. Yes. That's what we would call that. Okay, if we do that with Jesus, that's hypocrisy. It's the exact same thing. We're privately saying, "Jesus, I love you, I love you, I love you," but we will not acknowledge him before men. He says, "What kind of love is that?" It's the same kind of love I would have with my wife if it was only a private thing. I never acknowledged it publicly. Jesus wants a bride. Isn't that the church is called the bride of Christ? Jesus wants a bride. He's not looking for an affair. Affairs you keep secret. Marriages go public. Okay, Jesus doesn't want an affair with him. He's not looking for nice feelings, and he wants a commitment that goes public. Not just warm feelings. That's why real faith gets public. If it doesn't go public, it's hypocrisy. And that's why public faith is necessary for eternal life. It's not that we're saved by telling people about Jesus. It's not a works thing. That's not it at all. We're saved by faith. It's just that the nature of faith is that it goes public. That's what faith does. Listen to Paul. He says, Romans 10:9, "But if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Catch both of those things. Confess with your mouth, that's public. Believe in your heart, that's private. There's this dual nature to faith. It's public and private at the same time. In fact, real private faith will confess with the mouth. It just comes out. So faith that remains private is just an affair. You're having an affair with Jesus if all you do is stay private. And he's not interested in that. Okay, so then let's get practical. Let's talk. Practically speaking, how can we acknowledge Jesus before men? Okay, step one. Get baptized. I want you to think of what baptism is. If there's real faith, baptism is a public statement. That's what baptism is. You're going public when you get baptized. Baptism is like a wedding ceremony in that respect. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are going to get baptized. It's not a matter of if, but when. If there's genuine faith, you're going to get baptized. It will happen at some point. And I don't know where everybody in here is in terms of your faith, but if you there's a genuine trust in Jesus from the heart, it's really there, and you want to follow him, but you've never been baptized, it's time to get baptized. It's time to go public. That's step one. Step two, be open about your faith to your family. I've talked to lots of people they become Christians, but then their family is not Christian, and they want to hide it from their family. They don't want their family to know. And there needs to be wisdom there. I'm not just saying, go indiscriminately and just, blast everything out. However, you can't hide either. You need to wisely pray through how the best way to do it is, but at some point you need to come out of the closet with your family and let them know, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus. Tell them you're a Christian. Don't slam them. The purpose is not to put them down. The purpose is to raise up Jesus. That's the purpose. And so don't put them down. Don't criticize what their religion is or their views or anything, but stand firmly and say, I follow Jesus. Acknowledge Jesus before them. Be prepared for opposition. I mean, Jesus has been saying this as we've been reading all along, right? It's coming. Be prepared for that. They may not like it. But if you belong to Jesus, don't hide your faith. Step three. Work openly for the kingdom of God. I want you to think of the context of all these verses. Chapter 10 begins with Jesus sending out his 12 into the villages and towns of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he's saying to them, proclaim the kingdom of God, heal, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse lepers. He's giving them instructions in ministry. Okay. In the context of ministry, he's now saying all of these things about persecution and don't be afraid and acknowledge me before men. The whole context is working openly for the kingdom of God. Work openly for the kingdom of God. That'll look different for different people. Start a Bible study. Invite some of your friends to a Bible study in your apartment. Or you have friends in your classes or at work or wherever. They don't know the Lord. Maybe ask them, have lunch with them and say, hey, you ever think much about God? What do you believe? What's your religion? Just get to talking about that and listen to them and find out where they are. And, do you want to talk more about this? And be open about Jesus with other people. Work for the kingdom of God. Pray, if you don't know what that looks like, pray about that. God knows what it looks like for you. And so ask God, what kinds of things do you want me to do to openly work for your kingdom? There are a lot of different ways of doing that. Step 4, don't be embarrassed about what the Bible says. Sometimes, especially, I'll speak as an American because I know America. Here in America, people will think you're really weird for saying that sex should be reserved for marriage. They really will. They'll think you're strange. Don't be embarrassed by it. If that's what Scripture says, say it. And don't apologize for it. Stand there. Whatever the issue is, you believe that God created the world. They believe that everything evolved. You believe there really was an Adam and an Eve. They don't. They think you're weird. They think you believe in fairy tales. Okay. If that's what they think, then be okay with that. Don't be embarrassed by it. Stand there. And acknowledge the Scriptures in those areas, whatever the area happens to be. Step 5. Commit to a local church. I want you to think for a moment. A local church is a public display of the body of Christ, isn't it? A local church is a public thing. When you commit to a local church, you are actually making a public acknowledgement, in a sense, of Jesus. And so when you do that, don't be afraid to let people know. You know, they say, hey, let's get together to study Sunday morning. Just say, Sunday morning is busy for me. I can't make it. I'm going to church. Just let them know. I mean, you don't have to make a big deal of it, but you're publicly acknowledging something about something that's important to you and saying it's a priority for you. It's more of a priority than studying on Sunday morning. And so don't be afraid to do that kind of thing. Now, don't misunderstand me. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. There are lots of people in churches who, frankly, don't know Jesus. But if there's real faith, you're going to commit to a local church because you're going to want that faith. Part of being in a local church is a public expression of faith. It's where the body gets together to worship publicly. Is what that does when you're in that. When you're in a local church, really, you cannot practice your faith without a commitment to a local church. That needs to be there. It's part of acknowledging Jesus before men. Step 6. I guess this is related to one of the steps I mentioned. Get the gospel out. Really, that's when Jesus said, He's sending the 12 out. They're going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and they're going to be proclaiming the kingdom of God. They're getting the gospel out. When he's saying, acknowledge me before men, that's part of what this is. Get the gospel out. God's people are passionate about spreading the kingdom of God. They really are. It means care about missions. It means pray about who you need to share your faith with. Ask God who in your world you need to share your faith with. Talk, and then go talk to those people about the Lord. And again, with wisdom, I'm not just saying indiscriminately just go and, you know, hammer him on the head. Use wisdom, but don't be quiet either. The gospel is all kinds of things. Yes, it's a lifestyle, but it's also a message. And you need all of that in one package. And so sometimes people like to say, they say, I'm engaging in friendship evangelism, and there's all friendship but no evangelism. And the friendship is good. And friendship evangelism, actually, I do believe in, so long as there's evangelism as well as friendship. Those are necessary components, but you got to get to the message too. And so get to the message. Get the gospel out. Support church planting. Think of different ways to get the gospel out. Missions, church, those things get the gospel out. But please do not hide your faith. If I read Jesus right, you will lose your life if you hide your faith. Jesus says, he who loses his life for my sake will find it, but he who saves his life will lose it. Okay, lose your life for Jesus. In the end, you'll find it. He will give it to you. If you do hide your faith, you're going to find in the end that whatever it was you had with Jesus, whatever that was that you kept hidden, it wasn't faith. It was something else. It was a nice feeling. It was an emotion. It was, I don't know what it was, but it wasn't faith. So let your light so shine among men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's what Jesus said. Okay, I'm going to close this way. I'm going to ask you to take a minute, and I want you to write down. You can write on the back of those scriptures I gave you if you wish, or on whatever. We got some pens. If anyone needs a pen, we have some pens we can pass around. I want you to write down one practical step you can take to acknowledge Jesus before men, to go public. So just take a minute, think through that, and I want you to think in your world and just ask God what that might be. What can I do? What is one practical step I can take to acknowledge Jesus before men? And I want you to write it down on that piece of paper. Okay, let's close in prayer, and I'm going to ask if somebody would close us in prayer. Any volunteers to close our time? Okay, thank you, Elizabeth.
Lord, we thank you that we have Jesus' words recorded for us, mm-hmm. so that we know who you are, Jesus. And we thank you that that you are beautiful and true and loving, mm-hmm. and you are worthy to be followed. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us courage,
yeah.
to be light in the dark world, that we would reflect all of your goodness and love and beauty to others, so that they may know you as well. Mm. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm.